chapter 10, 32, 33, and 34. We'll stand again for the reading of the Word of God. And we'll read, I'll read, and then you read responsively. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests, unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, shall deliver him to the Gentiles. Let's read 34 together. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, shall spit upon him, shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. What a verse when you think about it. That verse number 34, and this is not really my message, but shall mock him, shall scourge him, shall spit upon him, shall kill him. That didn't keep him down, because the third day he rose again. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a good message right there, but that's not really the title to this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, and we thank you for today. We thank you for the reading of the Word of God, Lord. I pray, God, you give me clarity, give me strength this morning. Been a busy week, Lord, and I need your strength. I need your clarity. I need to help these dear people this morning with your spirit, Father. I pray, Lord, you bless. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask, the title of my message is Jesus and His Focus. Jesus, our example, okay, and His Focus. So many things, they capture our attention. It doesn't take much. You go through a store and, you see a screen flashing. That captures our attention. Or, if you go down the highway and you see flashing blue lights, and hopefully it's not for you, it's for whoever else, but you see flashing blue lights, that'll capture our attention. And sometimes you read the newspaper, you listen to the news or whatever, and you hear that the economy is dipped and so forth. That captures our attention. Or some good things come our way, and whatever the case may be, you might get a raise at work and so forth. That captures our attention. And then we have the worries, maybe that doctor's appointment, that doctor's test that you're waiting for and so forth, that causes anxiety, that causes attention, that brings attention to it and so forth. And you worry about the bills and more month than money, and so many things capture our attention. So many things, if we're not careful, can steal us away from doing the will of God and doing what God wants us to do and so forth. And we need to be careful of that. And we see here our example, Jesus Christ, and what he is focused on at really the very deepest or darkest day, I should say, of his life. So I want to ask you a question. What are you zoomed in on this morning? What's capturing your attention? Maybe you're here. You might be here in body this morning. But there may be some here this morning, but that you're just here in body, but your mind is wandering right now. It happens, and I understand, I get it, but it's wandering. And I'm going to ask you, don't be distracted this morning. I want to help you more than anything else. But you could be distracted simply because of what's going on the outside. And so I want to zoom in on this morning on Jesus, our example, and his focus in the darkest day of his life. Ever since Jesus began his earthly ministry and he called his disciples, he tried to help them to see who he was. You see, the disciples, they believed him to be a great teacher. They believed him to be a great man of God. They believed him to be a great prophet. And on some level, they thought he was the promised Messiah. They believed that Jesus was going to deliver their nation from the domination of Rome. They thought that Jesus was going to restore Israel to its former greatness. They thought that he would be king of Israel. And yes, they were right, but mistaken by timing. So often we can be mistaken by timing. Things turn out to be right, but we expect things now. And this is what they believed. They were mistaken by his timing. And you see, the disciples thought it was would happen in their lifetime. They believed that Jesus was on the verge of establishing his kingdom here in the world. But they failed to understand that God the Father was up to something much bigger and much better and much greater than that. There were two previous occasions that Jesus tried to explain this to his disciples, what was going to happen to him, that he simply came to this world to die. One of them occasions is found in Mark chapter 8, verse number 31, when Jesus told them of his approaching death. And on that occasion, Peter rebuked the Lord and could not grasp what he was trying to tell him. Another occasion is found in Mark chapter 9, verses 31 and 32. They couldn't understand what he was saying and was afraid to ask him. You see, the disciples thought that he was here to establish his kingdom. They thought he was a great man of God, that he was a prophet, that he's not going to go ahead and die. And now we're here at this third occasion where he's literally explaining to them, guys, listen to me. I have been sent here in this world to go ahead and die for the sins of the world. The Jews were looking for the Messiah, and they were looking for a military leader, but not one who's going to get himself killed. They simply could not understand that the Messiah would have to die to accomplish the divine mission on earth. So here is Jesus in our text. Once again, as they traveled to Jerusalem, telling the men what must and what will take place. In verse number 32, and I read, and they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them. And they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him. It was not uncommon for a rabbi to walk before his disciples, because you see here that he walked before them. It was not uncommon for a rabbi to walk all alone in front of them. And by the way, this is where you will find the Lord. And he is leading his disciples, if you will. He's leading his disciples, and they're following him. The Bible says they're afraid, you know, and I think Jesus here, you know, of course, he had a determination. He had to get to Jerusalem. But here was another time, yet again, he had to repeat himself to his disciples. Hey, you know what? You know why I'm going to Jerusalem this time, guys? Do you understand why? You know, I told you this before, but you know, I don't think you all quite understand it, and now I'm going to have to tell you point blank. And I think to a certain degree, when you read, you know, he's point blank, verse number 33, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. What a message. You think about that. Put yourself in the disciples' shoes for just a moment. What a message. You know, yes, they heard it, but they didn't really believe it before. But this time, Jesus is just point blank. Now, listen, guys. You know why we're going to Jerusalem this time? I'm going to die. I'm going to die. You know, and he tells them, and he gives them this important information. In this passage, we see Jesus out in front. He's leading his men, and we see our Savior going where no other man could go. He's about to do what no other man could do. Jesus is simply blazing a trail for all who will receive him by faith. And as he's leading his men, the men, by the way, that he loves so dearly, as he's leading them to Jerusalem, preparing to be delivered under the chief priests and scribes, preparing for death, we see on this journey what is on his mind as he approaches the cross. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Jesus, our example, and his focus here. We see his focus. He went before them. It has the idea, that phrase right there has the idea that Jesus kept on going and going as he led the way for them. It pictures a man that was determined. It pictures a man that had his face set like a flint. He was not going to turn back. He didn't look back and say, you know, I want to do this. No. He was set. He was facing this. He was facing it, by the way, like a man, by the way. But he was facing it. He wasn't going to go ahead and turn back. His mind was made up to do his Father's will. Boy, you know what? We need that today. We need God's people whose mind will be made up that, you know what, God, whatever it is you want me to do, I will go ahead and do it. I will go ahead and fulfill it. By the way, when you find yourself there, you know what? There's joy in that. There's happiness when you find yourself in the middle of God's will. But here he is. He's not turning. He's not changing his mind. He's not turning his back. Pictures a man that is determined to go somewhere and refuses to be distracted from his mission. So often, as I opened this a few moments ago, we get distracted from the mission, from the will that God has for us. We got to be careful of that. So many things captures our attention. So many things will capture us from the attention of us fulfilling the perfect will of God. We need to be careful. We see a great example here of a man that did not turn back when it would have been so easy to. His mind was made up. He says, I'm going somewhere. And he asked his disciples, and he's asking us this morning, won't you follow along? By the way, that's leadership. That's real godly leadership. Someone that says, you know what? The task ahead of me is very, very difficult, but bless God, I'm going to go ahead and finish the job that God's called me to do. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on paying attention and looking forward to the plan that he has for me. I think of Paul in prison. You know, he says, I press towards a mark. You know, very difficult place to say that, but he penned these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I press towards the mark. In prison, I press towards the mark. Forgetting those things which are behind. Reaching forth for the things which are before. You know, them aren't words of a quitter, by the way. You know what? When you think of Paul in prison and here Jesus, you know what? You can see his face was set. He was going forward. He was not going back. You know what? You just need to keep going forward this morning. We see that example this morning in Jesus, and you need to keep going forward. You need to keep going forward and doing the will of God. One that keeps on going regardless of how hard it seems. You know, he keeps on going, and that's what Jesus is doing. He's keeping his focus. We must be focused this morning. We must focus it on our marriage. You know, that relationship is so vital. Can you hear me all right? I feel like I've got an echo here up here today. But you know, we need God's people focusing on their marriage this morning. You know, this is not a time to bail out on your marriage. And you know, we see it in Hollywood. We see it all over that, you know, if it's too hard, go ahead and dump the marriage. Listen to me. Let me just stop and say this. If you're divorced this morning, I'm not mad at you, please. But you know, I'm talking to you that are married this morning. You know, it does take effort to go ahead and keep your marriage together. And you know, you need to focus in on your marriage. You need to love your wife, and you need to love your husband as you have. You need to focus. We need to focus in on our families. Sometimes we get too busy. We get too busy doing this and that, whatever. And you know, we need to learn to slow down before it's too late. It's too late when they grow up and you know, your children don't listen to you simply because we get too busy. Sometimes I've been there. Sometimes we just need to put the reins on once in a while. You know what? Let me just say this, that I've learned it and I'm seeing it. Your kids grow up very fast. You know, they grow up very, very fast. Now is the time to make precious memories with them. Focus in on your marriage. Focus in on your family. Focus in on your walk with God. Focus in on the will of God. Peer pressure will cause you to lose focus on your walk, and heartaches will go and discouragement will go ahead and cause you to lose focus on the will of God for your life. You know, focus in on your walk with God. You know what? You know, we need Jesus the most every day. But you know, it's funny that when we get in the valley, when we hit the battle, the battles and so forth, it seems like that's the time that we bail out on Him. Every single day, listen to me, church. Every single day, we need Jesus. But let me just stop and say this, but it's ironic to me that the time that we really need Him is when we're in the valley, but that's when we bail on Him. You know, and it doesn't make any sense. You know, He says, I am there with you. He says, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Do you understand that if you're in the valley, if you're going through heartache this morning, if you're going through discouragement this morning, and that might be what is distracting you this morning, do you understand that Jesus is with you this morning? He's right there with you. He's there to comfort you. He's there to go ahead and give you that soft and tender hug, so to speak. He's there to go ahead and give you that soft, encouraging words and so forth. He is right there with you. But oftentimes it's our battles. Oftentimes it's our bills. Oftentimes it's our discouragement. Oftentimes it's whatever the case may be that causes us to lose focus on our walk with God, and it causes us to lose focus on the will of God. Jesus was focused. He was not distracted. But we need to follow suit this morning. We need to learn to go ahead and just follow Jesus. No turning back. And just keep on going forward. Jesus was not only focused, but He was focused on a place. You know, this morning, let me just stop it. You know what I'll encourage you this morning? Focus on heaven. Think about it. You might be here and you might be overwhelmed with bills. You might be here, you might be overwhelmed with some health issues. You might be here, overwhelmed with all kinds of different distractions. Can I just stop and say, think for just a moment, heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. Do you realize that in heaven the scripture says there's no more crying? Do you realize that in heaven there's no more tears? There's no more heartaches? There's no more headaches? There's no more wheelchairs? There's no more blindness? There's no more deafness? There's no more obesity, okay? There's no more of this. Do you understand? Listen, do you understand what heaven is going to be like? You know, yes, we can be inundated with our bills. Yes, we can be inundated with the problems and so forth on this earth. But let me just stop and say this. Jesus, He was focused on a place. Now, this place, listen to me, was Jerusalem, obviously, for Jesus. And there was a certain comfort in knowing that He was going to Jerusalem simply because He was fulfilling the Father's will. But let me just stop and say this for just a moment. Church, focus on heaven this morning. You know what? These problems are not going to last forever. But you know what? One of these days, Jesus is going to go ahead and part the clouds. And one of these days, we're going to run up and down the streets of gold. One of these days, we're going to see the gates of pearl. One of these days, we're going to attain that mansion. There will be no more tears and heaviness and heartaches and so forth. One of these days, we will be living with Jesus forever and ever. Let's get focused on a place this morning. But Jesus, as he's leading his disciples to Jerusalem, this was his focus. This was the place that he's focused on. They were going to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is located in is located high in the mountains of Israel. There were places with higher elevation, but people always spoke of going up to Jerusalem. But as we look at this place where Jesus had his focus, I don't think he was focused on the city itself or the popularity. I don't think he was focused on the temple of Jehovah, which is the place that God dwelt in the Old Testament. It was where the sacrifices were offered for atonement. He was not focused on the sights and sounds that would surround him when he came to Jerusalem. You know what he was focused on? And we need to be focused on the same thing. He was focused on the mission that was at hand. Listen to me, church. Christian, God has a mission for you. He has a will for you. And by the way, you know who you are, the only one that could fulfill that will. I have a will for me that you cannot fulfill because it's God's design plan for me. God has a plan for you, and it's just for you. It is made, it's molded just for you to fulfill. That's why you need to be careful of not being so distracted. That's why you need to be careful not to get so distracted with all these things that 5 minutes after rapture are not going to matter, okay? But all these things that weigh you down or pull you away or whatever the case may be, you need to be focused on the mission that God has called you to be focused on. It was his mission that he was fulfilling. It was a mission that was handed to him by God the Father himself. The place was a little hill just outside the city limits. This is what his focus was. I'm confident that he was focused on that hill that we call Golgotha, that we call Calvary. His mind was settled on a place where Abraham offered his son Isaac to the Lord called Mount Moriah in Genesis chapter 27. His mind was settled on a place where he would offer himself up as a final, perfect, eternal sacrifice for sin and sinners. That's what he was focused on. Every day of Jesus' life, I believe this, every day of Jesus' life, every step in his earthly ministry, every miracle he performed, every sermon he preached, every single thing he did on earth was to bring him to that one place, Calvary. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Calvary was his destiny. Calvary was his mission. Calvary was his goal. Calvary was a thing that was on his mind the day that he walked to Jerusalem. Jesus was focused on a place, Jerusalem. He was also focused on a plan. It was his Father's plan. Just like God has a plan for you, he was focused on a plan. Jesus knew that when he arrived at Calvary, he was fulfilling his Father's plan. He knew that arriving to Calvary, the prophecies of the prophets of old would be fulfilled. He knew that the just demands of a holy God would be met. He knew that when he arrived at Calvary, the events that were to take place on Calvary, the events like the cat of nine tails, the events like the mockery and the crying out to crucify him, and the being spat upon, and the crown of thorns, and the beard plucked, and the nails in his hands and feet. Boy, it always just moves me every time I think of all that Jesus went through for me on that cross. But he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he cried out, it is finished. By the way, he could not go ahead and cry out it is finished had he turned back. Let me ask you a question. When you come to the end of your life, can you, like Paul, say, I have kept the faith? I have finished my course. Jesus said, it is finished. But you know what? But all these events, you know, when all this and more was accomplished at Calvary, God Almighty would be satisfied and lost sinners would be saved. On the road to Jerusalem, he was telling his disciples this must happen. That the cross and death would not be an unfortunate accident. It wasn't going to be an accident, guys. This was not just a plan B. This was plan A that was planned long before the world was ever created. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:19 and 20, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. The death of Jesus on the cross was planned before the foundations of the world. And Jesus was fulfilling that plan. Jesus made his way to Jerusalem. He's not distracted from that mission. He's explaining to his disciples that this must be done. He sees the place. He sees the plan. The plan of salvation was on his mind. He was headed there to fully deal with sin, and nothing was going to stand in his way. Let me ask you a question. What are you thinking about this morning? What are you focused on this morning? What is distracting you this morning? Is it the woes of life? Is it the, maybe you just received that raise and maybe you're getting ready to go on vacation? And that's fine too. But let me ask you a question. Are you truly focused on the mission, on the will that God has for you? The plan that God has for you? And then number next, he was not only focused on a place. He was not only focused on a plan. But I love this, he was focused on a people. Before he was born, the angel told Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Who was on his mind? You. You think about this. He's going to Jerusalem the last time. He's telling his disciples yet again why he's going there. I don't know about you, but this has to be one hard journey for Jesus. You think about it for just a moment. Yes, there's a fulfillment and certain joy that, yes, he's fulfilling his Father's plan. But he's going to go ahead and die on a cross. You know what? That could ruin a day real fast. But here he is, he goes ahead and he's focused and he's distracted. He's not turning back, he's not turning away, he's explaining to his disciples what's going on. And do you realize, listen to me, do you realize that all during that journey and all that he went through to go ahead and get to that cross, and do you even realize that when he was nailed to that tree, that you and me was on his mind? The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world. Do you realize, listen to me, boy, that ought to move you this morning, that you know what? When he went to that cross, he thought of Sean Weeks. Do you realize that if you were the only person in this world, because he so loved the world, he'd have still gone to that cross. He was not just focused on a place. He was not just focused on a plan, but he was focused on a people, you. He was focused on those other than you who would call upon on him to be saved. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Who else was he focused on? He was focused on those who would be given to him by his Father. In John 7, verse number 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Who else was he focused on? He was focusing on those who chose him before the foundation of the world. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in his love. He had on his mind all who would bow before the Father and confess Jesus as Savior. In other words, he had you and me in his focus. What love. What an act of love. Yet, you know, and again, this had to be the hardest journey of all, yet he was determined because he was going to fulfill the Father's plan. Can I ask you a question? Does the will of God drive you to a point of desiring to finish I mean, in other words, as you travel this journey, we know there's going to be ups and downs. We know there's going to be trials. We know there's going to be heartaches. And we know that there's mountaintop experiences, there's valley experiences all through life. But let me ask you a question. No matter what position you are in, are you driven to go ahead and fulfill the mission that God has given you? Or are we just too focused on whatever? Listen to me, church. We have so many things to capture our attention. So many things. Much is wicked, but some is good. But it becomes bad because we replace that with the will of God. I'm talking about good things. Making money is not bad, but if it's our God, if we put it before God, there's a problem. Having toys and things is not bad, but you know, if we put it before the Lord, that's a problem. But sometimes we get so distracted. When I ask you a question, are you focused on the mission this morning that God has called you? Hey, youth leader, are you focused? Hey, deacon, are you focused? Hey, Sunday school teacher, are you focused? Hey, pastor, are you focused? Hey, church member, are you focused? Hey, mama, are you focused? Hey, daddy, are you focused? Hey, child, are you focused? Hey, teenager, are you focused? Hey, nursery worker, are you focused? Hey, what I'm saying, God has a will. God has a plan for you this morning. Are you focused on that plan, on that will that God has given you, that he has designed only for you? Your name's on that plan. Not pastor. I will pray for you to help you fulfill that plan. I will help you any way I can to help you fulfill that plan. But you are the only one that can fulfill that designed, that crafted design by God Himself. You are the only one that can fulfill that plan. Let me ask you a question. How's it going? Are you in the will of God this morning? You can be. You can, to the best of your knowledge, be in the center of God's will this morning. But are you in the will of God this morning? Are you where, I mean, as far as your walk of life, as far as your world, so to speak, that you live in and so forth, are you, to the best of your knowledge, where God wants you to be? Boy, if not, you ought to be. If not, you ought to go ahead and make sure you maybe cut away or do the things that are necessary to go ahead and get you in the plan that God has so designed for you. What has your attention this morning? What has your focus this morning? Jesus, our example, had a focus. He was focused on one thing, a cross. And when he went to that cross, fulfilling his Father's plan, in the place that his Father had planned, he had you on his mind. Do you understand that the will of God, that the plan that God has for us, it'll affect us in many great ways if we fulfill it. But do you understand that if we don't fulfill the plan that God has for us, it could affect those behind us? If we feel like the Bible, you know, it's okay, we can all agree that Bible reading is important. Having a walk with God is very important. It is fair to say that that is part of God's plan for us to go ahead and be able to attack the old devil and be able to stand strong and keep going this race and keep running the race that God has for us to fulfill the mission and the plan that He has for us. You know what? We got to get into the Word of God. But do you understand that when we just kind of, well, we just, let's see, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, let's see, my Bible reading. And Moses saith unto him, okay, very good. That's about it. Now, that's a great verse. Every word of God is inspired. Thank God for that. But listen to me, wait a minute. But you know what? If this is your Bible reading, let's see. Oops, I got the center column. Whoops. No, but wait, you know what I'm talking about, though. If you don't start digesting the Word of God in your heart and start getting the strength that you need, you know what? You will not be able to stay focused, and you will not be able to fulfill the plan of God for your life. You've got to go ahead, you've got to get strength. Okay? Physically, we need to eat. Okay? No funny comments right now, okay? But physically, I mean, if we're going to go ahead and live and be healthy, so to speak. Okay, some of us, like, I'm too healthy right now, okay? But if we're going to go ahead and have the strength, we need to eat. And if we do not eat, and we decide not to eat, and whatever the case may be, and so forth, you know, we will weaken ourselves, and physically it will affect us. Now, let's go ahead and flip the coin over for just a moment. Okay? The same is spiritual. It's the same spiritually as well. God has given us food. I think it was Job that said, this is his necessary food. He desired the words of his mouth because it was his necessary food. You know, this is like food to the spiritual soul. It's food, rather, for our spiritual body. And what you need is you need to go ahead and you need to glean food. You need to open up the Word of God. Because if you don't go ahead and you don't digest and you don't meditate upon the Word of God, let me tell you something. You will not finish the course that God has for you to run. I need preaching. I listen to preaching throughout the week a couple different times. Not just because I'm a preacher. I listen to it. I need it. I need that shot in the arm. I need my prayer life. I need my walk with God. Because let me tell you something. If I don't have my walk with God, let me tell you, I will not finish the course that God has for me. What are you focused on this week? What is pulling you away from your Bible reading? What is pulling you away from the church house? What is pulling you away from all that is important for you to fulfill, that God has given you, that is important for you to fulfill? What is it that's pulling you away? What's distracting you? Jesus could say them three words, it is finished, because he did finish his course here on earth. Paul, when he came to the end of his life, he says, I fought a good fight, I have kept the faith. I finished the course. Listen to me. Can you say that this morning? Or has your race kind of stalled? You just kind of, time out! Just sit there, not moving anywhere. Listen to me. Let's get focused upon what God has for us this morning. Church, get focused upon, you know, Christian, get focused upon what God has for you this morning. Stop dilly-dallying around and looking here and getting distracted here and there. You know, the moment you know, the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus, he ought to be the focal point. And if you're going to go ahead and win the race, if you're going to finish a race, he's got to be focal point. But the moment you take your eyes off him, you will stumble and you will fall. Jesus, he was leading his men to Jerusalem one last time. And he was explaining to them the reason why we're going to Jerusalem now. I've been sent here to go ahead and die for the sins of this world. I'm going to be spat upon. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to have all these terrible things happening to me. But you know what? Listen to me. But the encouraging word is this. But on the third day, I will rise again. Listen to me. We serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living no matter what men say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheering just the time I need him. He's always there. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. I ask you a question. Christian, listen to me. Quick, and I'm done in just a moment. Listen to me. Christian, what are you zoomed in on this morning? What's taking you off the eye of, off that path of soul winning? What's taking you off that path of leading and rearing your children for the cause of Christ? What's taking you off that path of walking with God in the church? What's taking you off that path? You know, Christian, listen to me. You know what? We need to get our focus. We need to get the spiritual binoculars out again. Get that zoomed in and start zooming in on Jesus. Maybe here today, your focus isn't on Jesus simply because you don't know for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. Listen to me. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus, today would be a good day to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus wants to save you. You might be here this morning. You've got that void in my heart. Say, preacher, I don't know anything about being focused on the cross or focused on Jesus simply because I got the emptiness in my heart. And I don't know if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. But my friend, the Bible says that you can know that you have eternal life by simply believing in the name of Jesus Christ in 1 John 5:13. The Bible says you need to understand that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You didn't understand there's a price on sin. That price is hell, for God, for the wages of sin is death. But Jesus, he paid that price, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And all you have to do is simply open your heart and simply ask Jesus to come into your heart, ask him forgiveness of your sin. Take me to heaven when I die. And he says that he will do that in Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, listen to me. Do you know Jesus as Savior this morning? You don't have to sit, listen, you don't have to sit here and say, I guess I'm going. Maybe I'm going. No. 1 John 5:13, I quoted a moment ago, you can know that you have eternal life by believing in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus as Savior this morning? You can't even begin to fulfill the will of God for your life until you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because you know what? Getting saved is his will. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. No, Christian, bottom line, are you in the will of God this morning? You know what it is. I mean, I'm talking to God's people this morning. Boy, you've been taught, you've been trained, you read your Bible, you've read your Bible, but maybe the Bible's been a little stagnant. Maybe you've not read the Bible for a while. Maybe there's things in your life that's kind of slipping. Let me ask you a question. Is there something else that you're focusing on other than Jesus this morning? And if you are, you will not, unless you get your heart right, you will not be able to go ahead and say, I finished the course. I kept the faith. Simply because you're not leaning on the one that's going to help you finish. Now listen to me. I cannot finish the race that God has for me by myself. But when I plug into the power of the Holy Spirit, he and I make a majority. And when I'm like, you know, he's there saying, come on, Sean, come on, Sean. He's going to help me get to the finish line. Christian, yeah, you're saved. But he really zoomed in on the Lord this morning. Jesus, our example, and his focus. We can learn some things from that. He was focused on a place. He was focused on a plan, his Father's plan. And he was focused on a people, you and me. And since he was so focused on a people, you and me, then we as God's people, we need to go ahead and be focused on the lost people. And let's get out there and tell people about Jesus Christ. Jesus, our example, and his focus. He's focused on people. Church, we need to be focused on people. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, God. We thank you for this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd bless, Father. I pray that you'd deal with hearts in a special way. I pray your will be done. Maybe there's someone under the sound of my voice that doesn't know Jesus as Savior. I pray, dear God, that you'd go ahead and you'd work on their heart right now, convict their heart. Help them to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We would be more than glad to show them from Scripture, from the Word of God, how they could know for sure they're going to heaven when they die. It's not a Baptist way. It's not a Catholic way. It's not religion. It's simply a relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray, dear God, that there's one under the sound of my voice that doesn't know Jesus as personal Savior. Today would be that day.